All right, folks, this is Psychic Rich Bergeron.
This is Rabble Razzle the Tornado.
And Psychic Tom Padgett.
Yeah.
Ready to go.
No. I stole your nickname, Tom. I stole your nickname, Tom, because remember when we picked our picks for Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz 2?
Yes, sir. We got lots to talk about on that one. Lots to talk about.
If I recorded it, I'd be playing it over again now just to laugh. No, we did record it, but it's on the show, and for some reason my speakers are set up only to work on Skype, so I couldn't play it if I wanted it to unless I had a digital recorder, which I plan on getting. But anyway, long story short, what I say, if you remember, Rumble was going to do what I say he was going to do?
Yeah, we both agreed on that one.
You said he was going to win, but what did I say he was going to do?
Knock out in the first round.
Yes!
and that was... I don't know if you've seen it.
Yes, I did. I did see that one.
I just had to feel bad for Texterra. All that work going through and then get knocked out so bad you're trying to grab the referee's leg. I mean, that's a KO. Yeah. That was brutal. He wasn't at the post-fight press conference. Wow. What a punch that man has. I mean, he may hit as hard as any heavyweight. And what a chin that Daniel Cormier has.
Yeah.
It withstood that their first time around.
Exactly. Yeah, it was pretty intense all around. And the McGregor fight, I'm sure you're going to have Diaz fans argue that Diaz won it, but... it's just that style of the Diaz brothers that is all offense and no defense that comes back to haunt him sometimes, and then you just don't have the power to knock people out sometimes. You got to rely on your jiu-jitsu. If you can't get the guy to the ground, you can't use your jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
And so be it. But I had a feeling Conor McGregor was going to make the right adjustments, and he did. So I wasn't surprised there.
Well, here's my take on the scoring. And I got talked into going to this same Irish pub again. And it reminds me that when you're trying to score a fight, it's best to put earplugs in because the crowd can be distorted. But I think, in my take, that four rounds were pretty easy. I think McGregor's got to get the first round. Diaz has the third round. McGregor has the fourth round. Diaz had the fifth round. So that leaves round two if there was any controversy. And I remember saying to a few of the guys watching it with me, Diaz finished the round strong. But the question was, did he do enough to negate Conor's earlier work? And, you know, one boxing judge said the way he does it is he would break the round down into third. And if you break the round down into fifth, obviously Diaz just did not do quite enough, but the crowd in that pub was an Irish pub, and there were a lot of Diaz fans, and it kind of gave that little element of suspense about the second round, but I've got to say, I had Conor going 3-2. How'd you see it?
That's actually one I did not even watch. For some reason, I couldn't get it to continue after the Rumble fight, so...
Mm-hmm.
So I lost it after that, but I've been missing a lot of fights lately. I missed the broken leg fight the other night. Henderson got his first big Bellator win by default. Patricky broke his leg. Somebody thought he was going to act in something, I guess. They said, hey, go break a leg, and he did. Bellator 160 was Friday. I missed that whole card. I don't know how I did it, but I did it. Can you guys hear me? Saying no microphone for some reason. Hold on. Alright, so. Basically, the big card we just had the other night, too. I'm not going to go over the whole McGregor card, but it was a great fight. I did read about it. Actually, I don't say a lot of good things about this guy, but Jonathan Snowden had a good play-by-play report that I read. So He analyzed the scoring and all that kind of stuff, and I did read that, but I did not watch the full fight yet.
How did he see it? I'm curious.
He thought McGregor won and just kind of, you know, had that takedown at the right opportunity in certain rounds and just, you know, did enough to pot shot his way to a win, basically.
Yeah, I know. In the second round, McGregor scored a few knockdowns. Now, again, in MMA, knockdowns aren't what they are in boxing, but still, they had to count early on. And he had built up quite a lead, and Diaz really poured it on at the end of that second round, but it just wasn't enough. So, there you have it.
Then we also had UFC Fight Night on Fox the other night. We had Carlos Condit talking about possible retirement after that fight with Demian Maia in the main event. He just looked lost out there, and it's just one of those things. The guy's been around a long time, but some of these experts out there, like Demian Maia, who just hangs on people, you know, and just put together this amazing win streak and just topped it off here with Carlos Condit. Took him out in under 2 minutes. 8 seconds under 2 minutes.
Yeah. His jiu-jitsu has truly evolved past the gi stage. I mean, he's really taken the techniques and applied them to MMA, combined it with wrestling, and enough striking to not get knocked out as he's shooting in for the takedown.
And I love it how he was
a clinic.
I love how he was his own translator after the fight. You don't see that too often.
But that was I felt bad for Condit, but you got to look at Maia. I mean, he's 38 years old, and it's hard to believe he's performing at that level. I mean, it's just, and he's smart for demanding a title shot. But I think Wonder Boy's next.
Yep. Then we've got Anthony Pettis versus Charles Oliveira. This one I thought would go a different way. Thought it was just going to be a war belt to belt in the third round, and all of a sudden Anthony Pettis locked on a guillotine choke and ended it 149 into the third. And a lot of people were talking about his evolution since losing the belt, and you know, realizing that he had to change his game up a little bit. Oliveira's no joke. He's a submission guy, so and that's one of his favorite submissions. So to take a guy out with his own thing, that's tough to do.
That kind of violates one of Teddy Atlas's rules, that if you play the other guy's game, you're giving him his best chance to win. That's a dangerous game to play. And I know after the first round, I assume you've seen that one, Rich?
Yes.
Okay, IU, the former guest, Dick Rufus, was telling him, when you're trying to get off the ground, get away, back up, okay? Because it just seems like Anthony was bound and determined to beat Oliveira in his own game, and congrats to him, he did it. Amazing performance. I think 145 is where he needs to be.
Yeah, and then the little firecracker, Paige VanZant, she didn't let the little stint on Dancing with the Stars slow her down. She took care of Beck Rawlings. 17.
God, that switch kick. Oh, yeah. My God. That's so hard to do.
17 seconds into round two. She looked like she was in for a tough little brawl there, and Beck is no joke, but you know, she's kind of a basic 1-2 puncher type of fighter, Beck is. She's going to charge at you all day. She's going to be a tough put down, but you can't argue with kicks like that. You know, there's not much you can do, even if you got a good chin. Just got to...
Yeah, that was a pig.
Go with it.
It's more than just a pretty face, that's for sure.
And then we had Jim Miller proving that the first one was not a fluke in the rematch against Joe Lauzon. And I do believe I overheard somebody in Joe Lauzon's corner say something like, you can't be doing this anymore. Even though they didn't talk about retirement after this fight. They were clearly upset with him, the way he fought and the way it turned out. You know, I think Joe might have thought, hey, if I beat this guy, this might be my last fight. And then he didn't, and his corner just laid into him. But, you know, it wasn't like a devastating beating. He's taken more hits to the face in previous fights and come away with more damage, but definitely a spirit killer for him.
Well, I'm sure. You know, Joe's been around a long time. Goes back to, I believe it was 2006 when he knocked out Jens Pulver in his first fight. And he was his first fight in UFC, and he was supposed to be the sacrificial lamb.
Yeah.
And it sure didn't go that way. So they're both likable guys. Wouldn't even know who to cheer for in that one. But you know, if Joe hangs it up, he has nothing to be ashamed of. That's for sure.
I think he'll continue, but I think the UFC is really going to try to give him a farewell fight next time. You know, somebody that can definitely beat. But big enough name that it's going to be worth it to go out on. But we'll see. Sam Alvey, of course, got his big win over Kevin Casey at the end of the second. 4 seconds away from the bell, and he just clipped Kevin Casey and took him down to the mat and knocked him in the crap out. And he just showboated a little bit afterwards, kind of hammed about his kids and taking care of his kids during his break there, vacation.
Well,
fight
yeah,
time.
I like the way he came back from that setback.
Yeah.
So we'll see where he goes from here.
And we had a split decision on the card as well. Kyle Bochniak beat Enrique Barzola by split decision. We had two back-to-back ones. Alessio Di Chirico also beat Gareth McClellan by split decision. And then we had two knockouts back-to-back. Third fight of the night, Felipe Silva won over Shane Campbell in the first round, 113 into the fight. And then Chad LaPrize beat Thibault Gauthier by TKO, 136 into the fight. First fight of the night, Jeremy Kennedy beat Alessandro Ricci by unanimous decision. And, of course, as I mentioned, we had the Benson Henderson versus Patricky Pitbull match. It was very uneventful. Pitbull came away at one point limping around and appeared that he had somehow fractured his leg. I don't know. I didn't watch the broadcast itself. I don't know if they found the exact replay moment when he broke it and how it happened or what. But, yeah, call me a slacker all you want. I don't know. All I know is busted leg is hard to fight on.
Yeah.
But that happened in the second round, 226 in. We also had Derek Anderson beat Syed Awad by unanimous decision. Georgie Karakanyan beat Bubba Jenkins by knockout, 53 seconds into the fight. AJ McKee beat Cody Walker by guillotine choke submission, 32 seconds in. We had Joey Davis beat Keith Catroni by unanimous decision. Gabriel Green beat Alex Trinidad by TKO in the second round, 201 in. And Andy Murad beat Johnny Cisneros by unanimous decision. And those are pretty much all the big fights. Big news in the UFC today. Joe Silva, gone. Out the door. He is one of the first major departures since the buyout of the Fertitas.
Oh, wow, I didn't hear about that.
Nope, he's gone. Just read about it myself like an hour ago. So.
Whoa.
Breaking news!
That's too bad.
Yeah, he's been there a while, and I want to say, actually, I heard some stuff about him being invested in the UFC, like it says here in the article, from Ken Pavia. Ken Pavia and I had a sit down when I was in Vegas talking about all the stuff that was going on with him, with the contracts that he had gotten from the UFC and shared with Bellator, and Dana White was coming after him and making all kinds of threats, and yeah, it was pretty ridiculous. But he kind of gave me a little bit of the skinny on Joe Silva, and basically he and Joe Silva were best friends before all this happened, and then you know, his issues with the UFC made it so that if Joe Silva even talked to Ken Pavia, he was in trouble, you know. And so he gave me kind of some insight on that relationship that Joe Silva had with the Fertittas. So it doesn't surprise me one bit that now that the Fertittas are out, he is out. And he had, you know, significant investment in it. And I can remember him saying something about, Ken saying something about Joe telling him, hey, you know, my whole family's invested in this now. You know, we got our mortgage, you know, into this. He must have taken a home loan or something. So he was, you know, invested to the hilt in this. He obviously believed in it. And now that it's sold for $4 billion, he obviously had some kind of a profit. And also had some shares due to his being an executive with the company. So, big stuff. So pretty crazy.
Yeah, was there any word on his replacement for matchmaking?
They're just going to deal with Sean Shelby for now while they search for a new one, basically, is what it's saying.
Why don't we put in our applications, Rich?
Yeah, right. All right. I'm going to put John Jones against Nate Diaz. There we go. At welterweight. No. Good luck there, John. Anyway, a lot of fighters are obviously kind of upset. But there's a couple who said actually good riddance. Ally Aquinta said good riddance. but most people say he's good at his job.
I think he did a great.
You know, not really big names talking trash about the guy, but.
Wonder what Ally Aquinta was so upset about.
I don't know. One guy said, not quite on the Dana White icon level, but it's crazy. UFC middleweight Josh Salmon said, smart guy, did more than folks realize. Let's see. Not a lot of big names quoted in this article, believe it or not. Anyway, yeah, so he's out as matchmaker. All done. And we had some big boxing going on over the last couple weeks since we've had a show. Lots of boxing that I've also missed, but an interesting story came about in Premier Boxing Champions fight recently. A guy who was literally a cab driver before this fight goes in and demolishes Robert Guerrero. And
yes, I missed that main event. I was watching the card, then I fell asleep.
Crazy.
I think Guerrero got a gift about that knockdown. Did you see that, Rich?
Yes, he should have been knocked down. Should have been a
score. Right, in my opinion, I mean, when the ropes hold you up, you're knocked down.
Right.
And, you know, even watching it in slow motion, you could tell the ropes held him up. I mean, I can't understand why it wasn't ruled a knockdown. And I guess his dad was just throwing a fit, said that Guerrero won the fight real easy. Well, Robert, he hasn't scored a knockout in, what, like 5-6 years?
Yeah.
He's not a knockout guy. Yeah, I mean, and he gets to these close decisions. Well, that was, so this guy was a cab driver, this Argentina guy, huh?
Yes, he was. Well, his promoter put out a press release, it's on our blog actually, it says, Peralta is no longer a cab driver.
Wow.
Not anymore, he's back at it. David Emmanuel Peralta, big changes on the way for this guy.
Well, he put on a good performance. And if he was driving a cab between his training sessions, then working his cardio pretty good. That's one thing about Guerrero. He never showed up out of shape.
Yeah, he was driving his cabs in retirement. You know, obviously he had a record enough to earn this fight. But he literally came out of retirement for this fight, which has not worked so well for some other guys who tried to fight in PBC. You know, there was one guy who just got totally demolished. I forget his name offhand, but Samson Lukowitz is the promoter. Says he is no longer a cab driver. David came out of retirement to take this fight when I offered to him. Now his life will change. He will go back to being a full-time fighter, and I will find him another big fight to win. And Lukowitz is credited with discovering Manny Pacquiao and Sergio Martinez, among many others. Supposedly, even though I never heard of this until I read it here. It is what it is. Anyway, that's crazy, though. Pretty interesting story. The other thing I read is that Premier Boxing Champions has lost something like $400 million. So,
oh my god,
wow! I don't know how long that's going to stick around if that's true.
Yeah, it didn't stick around by the flags. I'm going to Premier Boxing Card Champions card.
Yeah. Seems like they have a healthy relationship with ESPN. You know, they've been doing that with them for a while. No problems. Anyway, going to the boxing schedule coming up here. We've got an interesting fight down in Mexico. Ray Vargas, undefeated, 27-0 at super bantamweight, fighting Alexander Munoz, who is 38-6. And we got Felipe Oracuta. He is 31-4, fighting Yader Cardoza. He is 28-1, 20 wins, 8 losses, 1 draw. Let's see, we got what else we got? Another one down in Mexico. A couple interesting fights here. We got Carlos Diaz Ramirez. He is 20-0, fighting Daniel Ruiz, who is 34-9-2. Then we got Miguel Beltran Jr., 31-4, fighting Gabriel Francisco Pina, who is 12-12-5. And we'll get to the rest of the fights here in a second. Waiting on Box Rec. Waiting on Box Rec. What's new, Rich? Just waiting on Box Rec. Oh. One of my favorite fighters with one of the most unique names in the sport is fighting over in the Philippines on Saturday. Mick Joe Arroyo. I don't think he's Irish, but his name is Mick Joe. He is 17-0 at super flyweight. He's fighting for the IBF World Super Flyweight title, fighting Jerwin Ansajas, who is 24-1-1. And nothing too crazy jumping out at me on the rest of the card. McJoe. What's up, McJoe? And this could be the mismatch of the week over in the Philippines as well. Dave Penalosa. He is 11-0 at featherweight. His opponent. Emphasis on the word opponent. Is Edison Berwila. He is 13 wins, 34 losses, and 8 draws.
Ouch. Eight draws.
He does have one draw in his last 6 fights. All the rest are losses.
8 draws. Wow.
He comes to fight. He comes to fight 1/8 of the time. No. All right. Then we got some stuff over in the UK. A lot of TBAs there. TBA still. The fight's on Saturday. Gotta love that. And we got fights going on at Tony's favorite place in the whole wide world. Now the football season's coming up. Texas, right? You love Texas, don't you? Cowboys Dance Hall. You want to go there, don't you? You want to dance on the Cowboys. Have you heard the fortunate news about Tony Romo, by the way? He's fucked for the season again already.
Well, I know he's out for
Half the season? Is that what they're saying now?
Yeah, that's what I thought the whole time.
Oh. All right.
I could be wrong.
Anyway, I was, you know, every time the Cowboys got mentioned lately, there was a guy, my girlfriend's friend is dating this guy now who's a huge Cowboys fan, you know. So what do you say to any Cowboys fan is, yeah, Tony Romo's going to get injured in the first week. So I said that to him about 6 weeks ago. It didn't even make it to the first week. That's awesome. That's awesome. It's predictable. You know, you got to give him that. Anyway.
Yeah.
Down at Cowboys Dance Hall, it's going to be on NBC Sports Network. We got main event Darwin Price versus Javonte Starks. Price is 10-0 at welterweight. Javonte Starks is 13-1. And super lightweights Ricky Edwards, 11-0, and Kent Cruz, 10-0, fighting to see who's always going to go. That's the biggest fights on those, on that one. What else is going on this weekend? Place called the Glitter Dome in Denver, Colorado has a fight this weekend. The Glitter Dome, Colorado State Boxing Commission. Donald Cobb is in the main event. He's at the light heavyweight, 7-0, fighting Joey Montoya, who is 9-4-3. That's for the vacant USA Colorado State light heavyweight title. That's the only fight on that card worth mentioning, though.
Rich, just a quick note back to PBC. Is there any idea as to where the bleeding's coming from, that they've somehow been able to lose $400 million in spite of all this television exposure?
Well, the money is in the renegotiation because they've given everything away this first round. They've spent all this money. And the only money they're getting back are from advertisers. So obviously there's going to be a shortfall until they do this UFC deal, like UFC doing Fox. And, you know, just stick with one or two networks instead of doing all these other offshoots all at once. Or all these networks decide, you know, we like this stuff, it's getting us good ratings, so we're going to keep it around. And that hasn't happened yet, I don't think. But this last one, actually, the Guerrero fight, what one was right after the Olympics? The Sunday after the Olympics, there was a big card PBC put on. And it got the best ratings ever. It's like 6 million people watched it. It's crazy. So they're really going to have numbers like that to come in with a package and say, hey, you know, you got to cover our losses and set us up for next year so we can keep doing this. So we'll see. But that's what happens when a guy from the hedge fund ends up working for your company after the hedge fund dumps hundreds of millions of dollars into it. And, all the investors are going, where's our windfall? But I don't know if it's really going to pan out. But, I mean, Al Haymon is getting a lot of people in his stable to work with him. And he does have the setup with a lot of different people that we've actually dealt with or, you know, had conversations with. We had Leon Margulis on after the Arash Usmani versus Rancis Bartholomew fight. And he's one of the main promoters that works with Al, Warriors Boxing. So, you know, it's just, they do have the right people together. Is it going to work, though? Are people going to embrace boxing again with the characters that we have and the people so afraid to fight each other? That we really want to see fight each other. I don't know. That's going to be the thing. Still, the jury's still out on that one. Is it marketable to the money point? That's what we don't know, real. Anyway, down there in Biloxi, Mississippi on Saturday, we got some interesting fights. Heavyweights. Robert Alfonso, he's 9-0, fighting Willie Herring, who's 14-13-3. This is for the USA Mississippi state heavyweight title. And here's a record. Quentin Willis. He's a middleweight. He's fighting Anthony Bowman. Quentin is 10-4-1. Anthony Bowman is 10-59-2. 59 losses. Takes a lot of talent, I guess. Then we got cruiserweights.
Well, what they say, a winner never quits and a quitter never wins.
Yeah. Wow. And that's not the worst. I mean, well, I guess it is the worst on this card, but there's a lot of other guys with some crazy records. Cruiserweight matchup here. Donald Stokes, he is 39-2-1 at cruiserweight, fighting James Johnson, who is 28 wins, 45 losses, and 4 draws. That's a lot of fights. James Johnson. And then we got another cruiserweight fight. Mike Bissett, he's 10-9, fighting LaMarcus Tucker, who's 4-0. This has got to be the weirdest names two fighters who ever fought each other. Now, in Austin, Texas on Saturday, the main event here, Super Welterweights for the Texas State Super Welterweight title. Kenton Scipio Cook, he is 8-3, fighting Joey Dunmoody, who is 9-2-2. That's weird. Weird names.
Dunmoody. Dunmoody.
Yeah. Fighting Scipio Cook. Scipio Cook. All right. Now we're into Sunday in Italy. Pretty sure that's about it. And I don't know what else has been going on in the great world of boxing and MMA that we need to talk about.
Well, yeah, I got one. So, as we common knowledge, the one of the three co-hosts on the show is celebrating a birthday in 12 days.
You.
Yeah. Huh. One gift from myself is a personalized tornado tattoo.
Awesome.
Give me a tornado tattoo on my wrist.
We got to see a picture of that one, Tony. You got to see.
It's going to be a three-part tattoo session. I'm doing it on the 12th, the 26th, and October 10th. I'm going to take my whole ribs.
All right. Are you going to be like one of those people that's going to be tattooed head to foot, and then they're going to think you're in the Yakuza?
No, because I have them right now, and you never see me get anything below my elbows, and you never see anything on my head, my back, and the neck, or anything like that. Anything you would see while I'm at work, I won't do. Now, the other gift, when I was talking to my dad with it, he goes, hey, there's a big boxing card, and Reading PA. It's the rematch between Daniel Jacobs and Sergio Mora. And so they decided they were going to open for him. So I said, yeah. So my parents are going to sit in the stands. I'm on the floor because I think Tarver is going to be there. And you know, I got to talk to him so I could, you know, tell him about, you know, being a guest on our show like you were at that time.
Yeah.
And I want to get pictures of people.
He might ask you for a loan, Tony.
This is getting pictures.
Don't give him any money. Don't let him see your wallet. He needs money.
Yeah, right.
He owes some money and child support or something. I don't know. He's got some issues. Oh, yeah, you definitely got to go say hi to him. And tell him, take all his money in cash. Tell him the Rocky story about cash. Cash money.
Yeah.
Money. Do all your events with cash, dude. I did not mention Rory McDonald. We talked about this a bunch of times on our show because of the situation where Ariel Helwani got thrown out of a UFC event, the MMA journalist, because of an interview he did with Rory McDonald, where Rory talked about free agency. And, of course, Rory was true to his sentiments, where he kind of trashed the UFC and said that they didn't like their offer. And, obviously, Bellator gave him something better. So he came out with some remarks recently related to that signing with Bellator. He says, we walk into that cage like every single other person on the roster. We're basically like a robot walking into the cage with the same jersey on. Talking about the Reebok deal, of course. There's no difference between this guy and that guy. It's boring. I find it plain. I understand where they were trying to go with it, but it's just not fight sport. There's no personality there. He said the free agent market is something that comes up from time to time. Well, that's what Scott Coker said. There's certainly people like Matt Mitrione, Benson Henderson, and Rory we felt we could move the needle for us and really help this company along. And Scott also said, if you're a fighter fighting in a different league and you want to exercise the option of free agency, that's how you'll know your value. To me, I think Rory did the right thing. Why wouldn't you? If you don't, you're only going to know what one company is offering. This is good for the MMA industry, not just for Bellator or whoever. You need to have two buyers. When there's only one buyer, the price will ultimately go down.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I certainly hope it goes good for him. I mean, he is leaving on two losses.
Right.
And, just see how it goes.
And not a lot about the labor unions. Supposedly they're trying to get started there, the pro fighters associations, and not a lot of development there, but there was a big article about Kung Lee, famous for his one-word answers to my first interview questions. In our book, anyway. He is trying to get behind this whole effort, too. He says, I'm pushing for an association to get behind MMA fighters and ensure that there is fair play for the fighters and to bring the Ali Act to MMA. This is what he said to NBC News. He says, I want the fighters to get paid what they're worth at a fair market amount. A lot of fighters are upset with what the UFC pays, but they can't speak out because they are scared to lose their jobs. It's an association's job to step up and speak out for all of the fighters, not just one. I don't know about you guys, but don't you find it interesting that as soon as the Fertittas get out, all of a sudden there's union craziness going on?
Very coincidental, if it's coincidence.
No, I don't think so.
Synchronicity. Yeah. There you go.
I don't think that's a coincidence at all. You know, the Fertittas have obviously made themselves known as anti-union with the Station Casino situation. And the union has made themselves out there to be anti-Fertitta in a lot of ways. Coming after the UFC for no reason, too. And trying to start their own union, which failed miserably. I never heard a thing about it. And they tried to get the Teamsters involved, too, which is kind of funny. When you think about it. And the way they started Vegas. But, yeah, the UFC is obviously developing now. They're losing people from the original outfit, and they're going to start shaping themselves as a different entity here in the near future. And I think the reason why so many people want to get in on that with these union deals is because it's going to represent a lot more money going to the fighters, and it's going to be a bigger portion there for these agents and union people to take as dues or, you know, percentages of purses, whatever, however they're going to do this to try to represent the fighters. I just hope they keep in mind that they have to do something for their money and not just take it to take it. But they do have a lot of people involved that come from the right backgrounds with other sports involved in this Pro Fighters Association. My big beef with them, I think I said it on the last show, is that they're out there with a whole entire website trying to look like they're the be-all, end-all for this fighters union. And they said this is for the UFC alone. You know, they don't mention MMA as a sport.
Yeah, I noticed that. That was very strange.
Like, really? You're going to alienate yourselves like that right off the bat and say, no, we're only targeting the UFC? That's kind of either ignorant because they don't know that the UFC isn't the be-all, end-all of the sport, or short-sighted anyway.
Yeah, and either way, that's bad across the board. There's no excuse for ignorance of something this big that you're trying to do. I mean, how many different organizations, I know the King of the Cage is still going, I think Gladiator Challenge is still around. World Series of Fighting, Bellator, I mean, and I don't know how many other small organizations.
Right. And we have a big fight night coming up this weekend as well, over in Germany, believe it or not. UFC Fight Night 93 in Hamburg, Germany. And Andrei Arlovsky will be fighting Josh Barnett in the main event. And this seems like it should be a rematch. Like, they should have fought before. I know they've been in common leagues before. They were in Strikeforce.
Is this a Fight Pass card, Rich? Do you know? I haven't checked yet.
Usually when they're fight nights, they're on Fox Sports.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they're on Fox. But, yeah, I would say Fox Sports 1, and it's probably going to be at a special time because it's over in fucking Germany. They like to twist shit around on us, you know? And I'm like, oh, it's UFC this weekend. And then I'll go turn it on at like 8 o'clock at night and be like, where is it? Oh, it's over? What?
Yeah, well, sometimes they make the foreign countries bend to our time. We'll see how that goes.
Sometimes, yeah. This one might be one of those times, but we'll see. I'll have to check on that. Anyway, I'm looking up Andrei Arlovsky right now, but he comes in with a record of 25-12. Barnett comes in with a record of 34-8. Arlovsky has come back recently with a lot more energy and skill and dynamic technique than we've seen from him in a long time, and I think it's mostly because of his work at Jackson's MMA. Whereas Barnett's kind of always been the same guy. He's just been very crafty, never really much for physique. He's kind of an oaf in the cage sometimes, but he gets the job done. He has a shitload of experience. He's been in every position he could possibly be in the sport, and he's just been in so many crazy leagues. He's got all kinds of different disciplines he's trained in, but he's just... He's just a stiff target so many times, and he just hasn't looked all that great in his last few fights. But, you know, this could be his last big hurrah here, and he loves to fight overseas. That's the other thing. Anywhere overseas, he seems to have, like, he's almost like, what's this, the Hoff. David Hasselhoff, you know, he goes over to Germany. All of a sudden, he's fucking famous, you know. Like, over here, they're like, everybody, oh, yeah, there goes David Hasselhoff. But over there, it's like, well, now, whoa.
Now, sorry. Remember, Arlovsky's on a two-fight losing streak, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's had some bumps in the road.
This is going to be so important for both guys. I mean, I don't know if it's lose or leave town, but this is definitely... Man, I'd hate to be on the wrong end of this one if I'm either one of those guys.
Yeah. And we also have Alexander Gustafsson trying to make remake a name for himself, we should say. He is 16-4 coming into this fight with Jan Blachowicz, who is 19-5. And we got excellent fight here between Ryan Bader and Ilir Latifi. Bader has 20 wins, 5 losses. Ilir Latifi has 12 wins, 4 losses. Also got...
Well, Bader sure has a deep fall out of after that Anthony Johnson debacle.
Yeah.
You know, it's... I wonder if he's just permanently in the gatekeeper status now. What do you think?
What was that, Tom? Sorry.
Bader, I wonder if Bader is now officially in the gatekeeper status.
He could be. I mean, you know, some people just have stumbles. Other people just, you know, fight because they just like the money and they just keep fighting even though they probably should have given up a long time ago. I think Bader is just the kind of guy who is just so heavy on his wrestling that, you know, he looks good against people who are weak there, but everyone else, he just has a real tough time.
He's got to improve on everything else. Going into that AJ fight, he had 5 wins in a row, and he had such good momentum going, and my God, what a setback.
Yeah. And he's got some main connections, too, Mr. Bader. Darth Bader. So we'll be rooting for him to... get it back on track. Anyway, Nick Hine also on this card. He is 13-2 fighting Tai Hyun Bang, who is 18-9. We got Jessen Ayari. He's 15-3 fighting Jim Wallhead, who is 29-9. It's a heck of a record. He's got the most wins on this whole card. We've also got Nicholas Dalby. He's 14-1-1 fighting Peter Sabota, who's 15-5-1. And of course, we got a female fight, Veronica Macedo, who is 5-0, fighting Ashley Evans Smith, who's 4-1. Leandro Issa, 13-5, fighting Taylor Lapilus, who is 10-2. And Rustam Khabilov is in action. He is 19-3, fighting Leandro Silva, who is 19-4-1. We got second fight of the night. Pretty great records for the first two fights of the night. I don't know if they're going to be televised or not, but Scott Askham comes in the second fight of the night at 14-2, fighting Jack Hermanson, who's 13-2. So, still some pretty good matchmaking going on. Must have been Joe Silva did this one, too, before he left. first fight of the night is Christian Colombo, 8-1, fighting Georges Danho, who is 6-1. So, identical losses there in the first two fights. And looking at Andre's record, just going to see if he fought Josh Barnett before. No surprise who he did fight, though. Not too long ago, either. Who's got the most fights in MMA? Tom. Do you know? Can you hear me now, Tom?
I can hear you.
Oh, is Tom there?
There you go.
Oh, there he is.
Yeah,
you've
been fading in and out.
Oh, sorry. So guess who Andre has fought, even though I don't see Josh Barnett on here. Travis Fulton.
Oh, boy.
The guy with the most fights in MMA. And guess how he lost. Travis Fulton lost, of course, to Andre. But talk about a tough loss. Actually, Travis won.
When did this happen?
Travis won back in 2011 at Pro Elite number 2. Big guns. Travis Fulton knocked out Andre Arlovsky with a head kick at the 4:59 mark of round 3. Talk about a last second win. That must be one of his big resume wins right there.
After Arlovsky was knocked out by Peter, he just really seemed to get on a bad downturn.
Yeah. Oh, no. He beat Travis Fulton that way. Sorry. I'm getting confused. So he won over Travis Fulton with the last second.
Travis Fulton, I wonder what his record is now. About like 300 wins, 250 losses, 50 draws. Geez. Mm-hmm. And then his pro boxing record. Add that to the equation.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, just a who's who on the record of Andre Arlovsky.
And we're talking about old school with Travis. He goes way back.
He's got Cabbage Correa, wins over Tim Sylvia, Justin Eilers, Vladimir Machishenko. There's a couple early losses to Rico Rodriguez and Pedro Hizo. A couple losses in a row at UFC 59 and 61 to Tim Sylvia. Any stronger, get a bunch of wins together between UFC, let's see, 60-something, UFC 66 and UFC 82. UFC 66, he beat Marcio Cruz, Fabricio Verdum at UFC 70, then Jake O'Brien at UFC 82, Big Ben Rothwell at Affliction, one of their only events. And then Roy Nelson at Elite XC Heat till he ran into Fedor in his day of reckoning. It was a vicious knockout punch there. And then Brett Rogers.
Yeah, that was brutal.
Brett Rogers destroyed him. Antonio Silva got a unanimous decision over him. Then Sergey Kharitonov beat him by knockout in the first round in another Strikeforce event. Then it was Pro Elite. I got a couple wins strung together there. A no contest over Tim Sylvia. In World Series of Fighting, he got a win over Mike Kyle. And he got back with Brendan Schaub. He got back to the UFC. At UFC 174 back in June of 2014. He got wins over Schaub. He got a win. Avenged his loss to Antonio Silva. Got his big win there at UFC Fight Night 51. Knockout in the first round. And Travis Brown was one of his best fights this century, I think. I loved the use of the back fists primarily in that win over Travis Brown, who was a training partner of his, so he kind of knew what he was expecting. But
yeah, that was an incredible minute. That was Hagler Hearns territory.
Yeah, 4:41 into the first round, that one ended. And then Frank Mir just got tossed around. It was a unanimous decision win at UFC 191. And Stipe beat the crap out of Andre at UFC 195 back in January of this year. That was a first round knockout. Showed you what kind of power Stipe had. And then Alistair Overeem got back on the winning track in May against Andre with a front kick and punches TKO in the second round there. So
if you have Andre's record here, go back to his first UFC appearance, I believe, in the late 90s. And I remember, I believe he won his initial appearance with a heel hook. So we'll probably say submission. Do you have his record in front of you there?
I just looked it up and I just shut it off. I can look it back here.
Well, no big. I'm just kind of testing my memory on that. But yeah, he seemed so well-rounded when he first came around.
Psychic Tom's trying to be the Rain Man of MMA over here. Anyway, another kind of, not really a story, but interesting development lately. I did read this, that Dana White does not want George St. Pierre to come back. He does not think he's fit to come back to MMA, even though there is big talk about him getting back in there. And there was a recent story about a Reebok kit being made up for George St. Pierre, which should say something. I think it's inevitable.
Here's the thing about Dana's statement, because I listened to St. Pierre interview on UFC tonight, and I think it's kind of dangerous unless you really have strong ESP powers to try to ascertain what's in someone else's mind and heart. And St. Pierre, I don't know if you caught that show, but St. Pierre was vehement about the fact that Dana doesn't really know him that well. And St. Pierre feels he's ready to go. He's doing great in the gym. He's got the competitive fires burning, and he doesn't want to wait till he's an old man and then regret it. So St. Pierre says he's ready. And Dana's statement is, well, I just know he's not. Well, how do you know what's in someone's heart? How do you know?
Right. Just for the record, Andre Arlovsky's first UFC appearance was in 2000, November 17th. It was at UFC 28, high stakes, and he did win by submission, but it was not a heel hook. It was an armbar, 55 seconds into the fight. He does have an Achilles lock submission, 47 seconds into his fight with Tim Sylvia at UFC 51, 5 years later, in February 2005. Achilles lock. I don't know. I don't know if they call that a heels hook too or not. All I know is I don't know how to put one on somebody.
Well, that was it stuck out because you know the guys from Russia and you know the former Soviet Union, they were the Sambo guys, and that Sambo influence was very big on leg locks back then.
Right.
You're not seeing as much of that now. A lot of people have learned to defend, and the problem is when you go for one, You've got to protect your face.
And, Tony, I am happy to report I have finally gone out and bought the movie Creed, so I know who Pretty Ricky Conlon is now.
What'd you think of it?
It was pretty decent, but what I couldn't figure out for the life of me is why they would have him lose in the end. You know?
It's like an original Rocky. How Rocky got in the end.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's just so anticlimactic for the series, you know, being that might be the last one we see in forever that he's going to lose there.
Don't worry, because you're already making it beat, too, so.
Oh, all right.
Okay. Hey, talk about movies. Hands of Stone is not even being played in my hometown. I'm going to have to drive quite a ways to see it.
It's not getting good reviews,
Tony?
From what I've heard.
I did not see it yet. I was going to go last Friday. It was playing in the one local theater by me, and it wasn't. I didn't feel like driving any further.
From what I've heard, the acting is great, you know, from Usher and whoever plays Roberto Duran. I don't know the guy's name off him, but there's, like, a lot of that backstory that they try to put in there, and it just all doesn't, you know, make for the greatest story watching it in a movie theater. But the fight scenes and the acting are supposedly great. It's just, like, the whole story part of it just kind of falls apart a little bit. It doesn't all connect the right way in your head when you're watching it. I mean, I've heard a lot of bad things about the way they've set this movie up, but there are great reviews for the acting for some reason. Everything else sucks.
Well, I never heard of the mob really moving in on Ray Arcel. I mean, I'm not saying it didn't happen, but I guess that's a big part of it, but I just never heard any rumors about that.
Yeah, well, that's why it's the mob. They're underground.
Ah, okay. That's why conspiracy theories work, because nobody knows about it, except your name. Yeah.
All right, so I guess that's it for us, unless you guys have anything to add to the broadcast.
I do. I'm going to remind everybody next week we're going to see TV at the park.
I also am working on a guest for the next show or shortly thereafter. Ray Edwards, he has not gone back to football. He's a former NFL player who has stuck with boxing. And Mark Abrams, the other Philly boxing email that I communicate with, he is trying to set that up for us. So we're working on getting Ray Edwards, who will be a former NFL player who decided to go into boxing during the lockout year of boxing and never went back. He walked out for good. He walked off the field and never came back. So he's doing pretty good for himself, too. I think he's either got one loss or no losses. He's either one loss or one draw. I don't know. I'll have to look at that again. But before we get him on, we'll have his record correct, that's for sure. Ray Edwards, future guest. So... And we've also we're also going to still do something with Matt Betzold. He unfortunately did not win his recent fight he had out there in Arizona. Sorry to hear that, but you know, he's a tough guy and just great attitude. And said to the reporter that interviewed after him in the fight that hey, you know, I win just coming in here to this cage. You know, I've already won, so it's just got a heck of an attitude about everything and. More power to him. I'm going to do something with a magazine article on him, but I also want to get that interview audio set up for one of our future shows that we don't have a guest for. So you guys can hear it. Great story. Anyway, that's all I have, and thanks everybody for stopping by. Have fun this weekend. Labor Day weekend.
I'm sorry. Look for the weather cooperate.
Yeah, no work. No working.
I'm not going to be working. I'm going to a concert on the beach.
All right. Labor Day.
That's my work.
All right, guys.
All right, guys. Next week.
Until next week.
Enjoy the fights this weekend.
Yes, sir.
Let me enjoy my concert. All right. I'll see you later,
guys.